Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be continuing our travel series here on Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. And we're going to talk apples, my ode to apples. What's up, Jack? But first up, food headlines.
I'm here. Hey, so you were at Martha's Vineyard, huh?
I was in Martha's Vineyard. It was a nice time to be in... I guess we call that, New England area?
Yeah, sure.
It was gorgeous. It was absolutely gorgeous. Went to the farmer's market there. Went to the beach, chilling on the beach with the jacket on. It's nice. It's different. It's different than the summertime.
Yeah, I love autumn beach.
Yeah. It was really cool. A few people out there swimming. But, yeah, it was cool to see the food. Yeah, it's weird, right?
Very weird.
This is a funny thing about Martha's Vineyard, Jack. You know, everything is really like shut down. The season is closed. So all these restaurants, all these shops were literally closing for the season until May.
Wow. So it's like a ghost town.
Exactly. I wonder what people do for jobs because their food is a huge industry there.
Interesting.
I have no idea. But yeah, Martha's Vineyard. It's great.
Cool. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
What else is going on?
That's it. I still have, you know, I thought I would do the, I still have all these apples at home, so I'm like in apple mode. There are a ton of cool events that are happening. Actually, this Saturday, I'll be emceeing Bed-Stuy Food and Family Day. They're giving out awards to people in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood in Brooklyn, people who are doing great things around food.
Yeah.
So I'll be emceeing the lunch hour of that. So that's pretty much it. Other few things going on, but that's the only thing I can think about right now.
Very cool. Yeah. So some other cool stuff happening in food. Our friends at Blanca got a Michelin star.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
You know, okay, Jack, confession here.
Okay.
I really didn't know... I mean, I know what a Michelin star is, and I see people, you know, we have one Michelin star. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to really ask a few people, what does this mean? And, like, do a lot of research about it. It's a kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal, yeah. I mean, more so in France and Europe at large, but, you know, it's a big deal in the States. And our good friend Roseanne Gold, who's been on the network a few times, she did a piece in the Huffington Post food section, which kind of breaks it down, I think, in a really good way. So if you don't know what the Michelin Guide is or what Michelin stars mean, definitely head over to Huffington Post food section and read that. It's a big deal, though. For Blanca to get a Michelin star is a huge deal.
It is. I mean, Blanca's been around, what, maybe... 6 months a year. I don't know. But the guy, Blanca. Yeah. People who are listening, they're like, Blanca, what's Blanca? Blanca, it's by the folks here at Roberta's.
Right. It's the small exclusive restaurant in the back of Roberta's that does a 26 course tasting menu. I think they do maybe 5 days a week, one turn per day.
Yeah. So if you're interested in that, you better check it out because I hear that the reservations are usually booked out of.
Very much so. I was lucky enough to get, I had the friends and family dinner there.
Oh, cool.
First opened, so.
Cool. I need to check that out. So, yeah, Blanca, y'all. Congrats to them. To Blanca.
And this is really exciting for me. Basically, Governor Cuomo just gave the okay for micro distillers, and I'm wondering how they define micro distiller. But he's giving an okay to micro distillers to sell booze at farmers markets and fairs, which is great because
that
a lot
exciting.
Of times those guys have a hard time getting their product into stores or promoted. They're really small operations, so now... You can go to the farmer's market and get some, you know, local artisanal spirits.
I think this is huge. I went, was it last Monday or the, I think it was last Monday, or the maybe the Monday before last, or Tuesday, whatever. I went to the Spirits of NYC event that was hosted by Slow Food NYC, and they basically had all of these micro distillers from Brooklyn, upstate New York. I mean, from the Sugar Wash Moonshine to Brooklyn Distillers, there were tons. And I'm really excited because I actually got to meet people who are like really like making, marketing, and all that. And so to hear that they can go to Grand Army Plaza or go to, you know, one of the farmers markets in Brooklyn is huge.
Yeah.
Good for them. I mean, they can go directly with customers. And I know in previous years, it was really hard for microbrewers, period, in New York City to do a lot of things because the laws were so tight.
Right. Well, it's a new thing, you know. I feel like they're just getting their hands around it.
Yeah, and shout out to the pioneers, the people. I forget what the name, the Hudson Valley.
Tuttletown, yeah.
Tuttletown. Shout out to them because they really were the pioneers and kind of paved the path in terms of changing the laws and stuff. I visited them before. They're a distiller up in Hudson Valley. It's really cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Very cool. I mean, in case you're wondering what Cuomo himself is saying, he says, quote, by easing restrictions on farm distilleries and permitting tastings and sales. That's interesting.
Oh!
Outside of their premises, we're giving these distilleries an equal chance to compete in the industry and a better opportunity to reach new customers and grow their businesses. So that's a good spin on it.
Yeah. The tasting thing is huge because before, that was kind of like the crazy thing about the law, that you couldn't taste or people can only have so much of a taste if they're inside a microbrew. So, yeah. Thanks, Cuomo.
Yeah, right?
Appreciate that.
Seriously. So be on the lookout for that. And then in less important news, disappointing and funny nonetheless, KitchenAid. I don't know who did this at KitchenAid, but somebody at KitchenAid put out a tweet that said, Obama's grandma, and I'm paraphrasing here, it's not exactly as they wrote, Obama's grandma knew it was going to be bad. She died 3 days before he was elected.
Yo.
And then they quickly deleted that tweet. So I guess on October 3rd, they sent out an apology tweet, and there's just this really funny article on Mashable.com that kind of goes through all the quote-unquote accidental tweets.
So, Jack, that was the night, October 3rd was the night of the first presidential debates, right? I was, as I always do, like, I'm on Twitter. I usually don't tweet a lot on Twitter about political stuff unless it's food stuff, but I do.
Smart move.
Yeah, but I do, you know, watch what's going on. And so one of my Twitter friends, Melissa Zhang, said, oh, my gosh, something about the KitchenAid scandal. I'm like, KitchenAid scandal? I mean, literally it happened like 20 minutes ago. There were so many retweets and Mashable had already written an article about it. So apparently it seems that one of the social media folks on their team must have, if you are listening and you know how it is in social media when you have Hootsuite, they must have checked their KitchenAid account instead of their personal account.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. So I have, you know, I'm at Jack Inslee, and then I obviously tweet for @heritage_radio.
That's happened to you before?
There may have been a night where, because, you know, I do events and I DJ and I make music, and then there was definitely a night where around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, I sent out a tweet trying to promote an event.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, I definitely just...
But that's promoting an event. That was just straight up mean-spirited and wrong. Yeah. I mean, regardless. Which side of the aisle you're on, that was mean.
Right.
To talk about someone's dead grandma, that's really sad. But yeah, KitchenAid, I mean, you know, I will have to, you know, hand clap to them. They like recovered really quickly. The head of KitchenAid came on Twitter and apologized immediately. Yep. And, you know, they recovered really nicely. But it's so funny because some people took this as an opportunity to like bash KitchenAid. It was like, oh, you didn't fix my mixer. I'm done. This was the last straw.
Right, yeah, sure.
I'm like, I mean, stuff happens. I get it.
If anything, I think Twitter should address this because it seems to happen often to many people with tweeting from the wrong account, sending something out they didn't want to send. Maybe there should be a little bit more of a more protective measures.
I don't know.
Company tweets.
I don't know. I don't know what the solution is except for people who are social media managers or what they call community managers. For brands, they need to really just don't mix their personal account to, or just don't tweet political stuff.
Yeah. That's tough.
But anyway.
Well.
Life and times of social media world.
That's right.
All right,
gonna watch the debate on Thursday?
Okay, I'm glad you told me because I was sitting here thinking yesterday, when the hell is the second debate?
Yeah, Biden and what's Biden and Paul Ryan?
Do you know what the topic or the focus?
I don't, but we'll see. It should be fun.
I want them to. Oh, Biden. Oh, yeah, he's absolutely hilarious. I want to see if they're gonna talk about ag stuff. Any of these folks?
Yeah, eventually you'd hope they get there, right?
Get one ag question in. That's a big deal. Something about the farm bill and all absolute. That good stuff. I may or may not watch it. Who knows? Anyway, folks. Jack, thanks so much. Food headlines every week.
Anytime.
Here on Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We're gonna take a quick break and come back with more Hot Grease.
Network.org.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I just love myself some Will Harris. That was Will Harris from White Oak Pastures. They are a sponsor of this week's Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. So, y'all, we're continuing our month-long talk, chat, whatever you want to call it, to travel and food. I have so many travel spots on my list. I thought I would shout out a few, and people who are listening, if you have any suggestions on where I should eat or where I should stay, let me know. I'm starting to plan my travels for the month of December. And a quick getaway in November and thinking, you know, where I want to go and what I want to do in the upcoming year. I'm ashamed to say I have never been to Austin. I am dying to go to Austin, Texas. I hear it's like the little Athens, Georgia. And, you know, I am from Athens. So that is like one of the top spots that's on my list. I want to go to Austin. I'm totally geeked about checking out their donut culture there. Everyone talks about the barbecue in Texas, but I'm going for the donuts. I'm going to keep it real. So if you are listening and you know some great donut spots I need to check out there, let me know. Hit me up on Food Cultures at Food Cultures or Facebook.com/Food Cultures. Barbecue spots. Yeah, I'll try that. I'll try breakfast tacos as well in, Austin. Where else would I like to go in the U.S.? So two other places dying to check out: Scottsdale, Arizona, and Palm Springs, California. Palm Springs, I think in the month of March, they have this modernism week. So they, you know, do all these tours of these cool houses in Palm Springs. Palm Springs is known for this really cool architectural details, and it's actually in the desert. One of the other cool spots, the Ace Hotel, is actually in Palm Springs. So I'm dying to go to the Ace and some of the other cool boutique hotels, check out their cocktails, and have some great food. I really don't know about Scottsdale, except for, again, it's in the desert as well. But I hear from people that it's very old folky. So some of my 30 plus or 30 and under crowd, let me know, what should I do if I take a trip to Scottsdale, Arizona? Where else in the U.S. I'm dying to go? I think those are the only two places. I want to definitely check out the Finger Lakes. We had someone on the show last month talking about the Finger Lakes, part of the United States, or actually New York State, to check out the wine piece. And I'm actually debating, should I or should I not go to Paris, France for Christmas, or around Christmas time to New Year's Eve. Are you listening to High Grease and you spent Christmas in Paris? How was it? What'd you do? Where should I eat? Where can I feel that great holiday spirit in Paris? Let me know. There you have it. What's on my mind? What I'm thinking about where to travel in 2013 at the end of this year. Hopefully we'll have our guests. We have a guest, husband and wife team that are supposed to be on the show today talking Dubai. We're going to take a quick break and maybe we'll have them on the line. Keep listening to Hot Grease. We're going to take a short break and come right back.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. You can check our show schedule and archives at heritageradionetwork.org. We're talking travel and food on Hot Grease all month long. And today, I just want to ask some of our listeners, have you been to Dubai? What's up? What's the real deal with Dubai? I've never visited there, and you always see some movie, Sex in the City, some reality show. They're always showing this very glamorous place to shop. I don't see a lot about food, but I always hear about the shopping. One couple or one blog I'm going to have to shout out is chefandsteward.com. They are a husband and wife team that actually live in Dubai. They've lived in New York City before. And they're cooking and working and having a great time and enjoying life in Dubai. So check them out. They're on Twitter at Chef and Steward. And their website is great. They blog a lot about Jamaican food and just really about their life in general. They're living a very normal life there. The husband is a chef, one of the finest hotels there, and Kara is a writer for one of the local papers, so check them out. Hopefully we'll have them on Hot Grease soon, but in the meantime, check them there. And if you've been to Dubai, or more so, you know what, I'm curious, are there any magazines or national papers who've done like a full length spread on what to eat and where to eat in Dubai. If you know, let me know. All right, guys, I'm going to take a quick break and come back with the Hot Five.
It's called Rapper Yacht by the Mudos Band on iHeartRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Today's show was produced by myself and Jack Inslee. I'm being engineered today by Joe G. Thanks, Joe, so much. The show is being sponsored by White Oak Pastures. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. So, guys, you know how we do it right here on Hot Grease. We bring you the Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the food world. Today, I'm giving you five things to do with apples. My own ode to apples. Okay, so number five on my list. This is like the third week on this show I've talked about apples because I'm in apple overload. I'm not going to say overload. I'm going to say heaven. So number five on my list is making a fabulous, I don't know what to call this drink. It's an apple cocktail, sparkling wine or Prosecco with apple cider and a twist of lemon. I was trying to figure out last Monday when I left here. I was like, okay, I have apple cider in the fridge. And I was walking past my neighborhood wine shop, Bed Vine. And I'm like, what kind of like sparkling cocktail can I make with this? And I wasn't sure at first that it may be too apple-y using the sparkling wine. But it was great. So, yes. If you have apple cider, you've gone apple picking, or you're going in the market and you see apple cider, I would say do a glass of more sparkling wine and then just top it off with a little cider. It's too much with a lot of cider. So just a bit of apple cider and then just a twist of lemon. So there you have it. Number five. Apple cider cocktail. Number four on my ode to apple hot five. Okay, so shout out to Pinterest. Thanks to Pinterest because I get a lot of great ideas off Pinterest. Actually, you know what? This wasn't from Pinterest. This is from a new blogger. It's called, I'm going to screw up the name. But anyway, she did a post on apple cider floats. Okay. And she actually, it was a twist on a Rachel Ray recipe. So it's apple cider warmed. I actually even took it to another level and I put a shot of spice rum in the apple cider. She, the blogger and Rachel Ray, they put a stick of cinnamon inside of the warm or boiling apple cider. I didn't do that because I felt like that was going to be too much with the spiced rum. So spiced rum, apple cider. And then I took Van Leeuwen regular vanilla ice cream. Took a float glass, put the apple cider in, scooped a little bit of vanilla ice cream, just plain vanilla high quality ice cream, and drizzled a little caramel on there. I just sprinkled nutmeg and cinnamon on top. Boy, that thing was really good. Very simple thing. Apple cider float. You can obviously leave out the alcohol, but it gives it a different little flavor. Take a spoon or take a straw and you're good to go. So that's number four, apple cider float. Number three on my list, I make this all the time, apple crisp. It's like I never made an apple crisp until I moved to the Northeast. I was an apple pie girl. And then I just realized, you know what? Crisps are so easy. Get some really great apples, not your Red Delicious, but apples that are really used for baking and they can stand up to the heat and don't like mush down. But I just basically take apples, put them in a baking dish. What I make is this crumb, and I don't use oats in my apple crumb. So I make this crumb topping. This is really just like flour, butter. And my secret is I put a lot of cardamom. I love cardamom in desserts. Cardamom, ginger. I put a little ginger and cinnamon. So I make this crumb, and you actually can freeze this crumb and then put the crumb all over the top. And it's so good and so simple. So my third suggestion or ode to apples, hot grease, is to make a apple crumb. Gosh, I make a lot of desserts. I'm just so ashamed. Number two on my list, another dessert, is a German apple cake. So simple, so good, and not sweet. It's a cake, but it's not very sweet. You basically make a very simple batter, and you very neatly cut up apples. And it's so gorgeous after you make this pie. Actually posted a few photos of the apple German cake on my Instagram page. I can be found on Instagram under Elocin Taylor, ELOCINTAYLOR. But I made this apple German cake. It's actually from Martha Stewart. Tweaked it a little bit, just basically tweaked some of the spices. But I love it. It's a very simple cake. You can probably do the same thing with pears. Really, probably with any fruit that's not going to, again, you need a sturdy fruit that's not going to get too soggy or just break down with heat. So that is number two, apple German cake. And finally, here's something that's very, that's not sweet. And that is apples and pork chops. I actually love this. Literally just grilling some pork chops, making some apples, and just kind of sauteing them with a little ginger and onions and garlic. Love it. So there you have it. The apple ginger pork chop recipe. So that is my ode to apples. I promise this is the last time I'm going to talk about apples in October, because November is coming. We'll be talking all about Thanksgiving. Listeners, thanks so much for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back next week talking more travel and food, and getting you inspired to leave your home. Remember, I'm here live every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.